This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It is currently 7:44, 16 till 8 on this Ash Wednesday. Maybe I should speak a little lower since it's Ash Wednesday in case you're waking up with a big head. A little bit windy today, not as windy as it was yesterday, and the wind did eventually come in. Highs today, about 65 degrees. Right now it's 54. With the wind, it feels like 47, so be aware of that. 61 for a high tomorrow, 75 Friday, chance for showers Saturday, highs of 74, and then Sunday, highs of 65 and clouds as some more parades are scheduled to roll. I think the crew of Barkus and trucks, if I heard correctly. Stephanie Regal joins us now, business writer for the Times-Picayune, NewOrleans.NOLA.com. Rather. Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
Fine, thanks. Good morning.
You know, I'm a big fan of yours as a journalist. I think you do a great job and always have. Let's talk about what I think. Let me say my piece, and then you can comment on this because you're the reporter.
Sure.
And you stick with the facts. I think what's going on here with the Archdiocese, just to set the context, and not just the Archdiocese, but the Catholic Church in general, is just as they separate Entergy Louisiana or Entergy New Orleans from the main company to insulate assets, I think the church is doing the same thing with archdioceses here to insulate the church's assets. The difference is one's a religion, the other's big business, or maybe they're the same, because when I see the legal maneuverings here, there's just my outsider's opinion. I'm no Stephanie Regal, but it's reminiscent of something you'd see in Succession to protect assets and shield assets. While maybe appropriate to protect the stockholders when it comes to religion, and this is a judgment on my part, not yours, maybe not so appropriate. But with that being the backdrop, let's talk about what's going on in the Archdiocese.
Yeah, we took a look recently. It was really more sort of a big picture analysis, just to take a step back, as we are now rapidly approaching the 5-year anniversary of this bankruptcy case that was prompted by dozens of claims of, you know, previous clergy sex abuse. Now we know there are hundreds of claims against 300 plus priests, deacons, nuns, most of them dead, not all though. And so, you know, just as the church has tried to settle this case with the plaintiffs, and they were, you know, last fall, hundreds of millions of dollars apart in what they wanted. There's some reason to think that they are closing the gap, but we're still months away at best from settling this case. And so, you know, in the meantime, we took a look at all of the real estate that the church has sold off and the different assets that they have sort of divested themselves of or are in the process of so doing, as you mentioned. And it's, you know, I mean, it's something that's going on around the country. It's something that probably would not have happened in this way had it not been for this clergy sex abuse crisis that has, you know, been handled through the bankruptcy courts by and large around the country. And it's due to a number of factors. I mean, the world is changing. The Catholic Church is shrinking, even though there are pockets of like renewed devout communities that are growing. But, you know, over the past, say, 3.5-4 years, as the church has moved to liquidate some of these assets, it has sold off nearly, I think, $15+ million or so of real estate, including like a big office building downtown, community centers, a couple of old church and school building on Napoleon Avenue that's now going to be a Trader Joe's and an event venue. There's also talk that has been predicated really by a controversy that came to light with the food bank Second Harvest, that the Archbishop has said he is looking to remove himself as the sole corporate member of that nonprofit, as well as another very important charitable nonprofit that the church has basically run and controlled, Christopher Homes, which provides housing to low-income seniors. So, you know, we just sort of see this movement away from having as large a footprint. And then, of course, separate and apart from the bankruptcy, going back even to the post-Katrina years, the archdiocese here had closed parishes where they just literally didn't have enough parishioners anymore. You know, a lot of these churches were built in the 19th century or the very early 20th century. They have a tremendous, cost.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
To ensure and to maintain, and there's just not the money and there's not the people to do it anymore. And so, you know, that's an added financial pressure in addition to everything that's going on in an attempt to settle the bankruptcy court. So I think in the fall of 23, they shuttered about 10% of their parishes. The Archbishop had said they would close more in 2024, and that hasn't happened yet. I think they've just been putting out so many dumpster fires that they decided to put that on hold. But it's probably inevitable at some point that they close or consolidate parishes to have vibrant parishes where the people are and not so much where the people aren't. What's interesting, I think, is that a lot of these parishes and church properties, they're wonderful old buildings. And of course, there's so much sentimental value to them and they hold such a special place in the community. But as a practical matter, you know, you're not going to get the insured replacement value for a giant hulking church building that's fallen apart in a disinvested neighborhood. And that's just the reality. So
where's the bolt of lightning when you need it, huh?
Exactly, right? See, you can say, we'll give $10 million, $20, $30 million for this old church, even though that might be the insured replacement value on paper. So it looks like the church has a lot more real estate in terms of, you know, its dollar value than it actually does on the market, especially if you try to sell it all off at once.
Stephanie, I thought you'd appreciate that. Where's a bolt of lightning when you need it? So, let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. All right, 751, 9 till 8, traffic now, WWL. 757 now, 3 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Stephanie Regal, business writer for the Times-Picayune, NOLA.com, about the Archdiocese and the plans to consolidate properties, sell off properties, consolidate churches. Dealing with the bankruptcy case, but actually it goes before that to Katrina, and it does go really to the way they've conducted business around the country. And I would just say this before I get back to Stephanie, because I don't want to bring her into this melee, but I think the question is whether it's a religion or whether it's a business. For example, if Target decides to close stores because they're not profitable, well, then people can choose to go to other targets or shop somewhere else. But with a religion, it's kind of different because what comes first, right? Do you provide the facility first or the services first, or did you base it on demand? And when it comes to businesses, there's a board that runs this and decides this, and you're dealing with assets and capitalization. And Stephanie Regal, when it comes to, and let me say one more thing, Stephanie, before you come on, and that is that 97% or 93%, I think it is, of the priests are good working servant people that are not involved in this. However, you do have to answer for what you did wrong as a church with the archdiocese and their Catholic Church. Now, all that being said, Stephanie, when it comes to a board and capitalization, who runs the church? What are the assets of the Roman Catholic Church? And they do separate it by archdiocese to shield those assets, do they not?
They do. And the archdiocese is, I mean, they control a lot. And the archbishop is the sole corporate member of all of the 100+ quote affiliates or affiliated nonprofits and most of the parishes that are under this massive umbrella of the archdiocese. And I mean, what you've seen in the bankruptcy and also in recent skirmishes and controversies, like over this fight over the leadership of the Second Harvest Food Bank, which got a lot of publicity a couple of weeks back, is kind of where civil law and canon or church law butt heads. Mm-hmm. And if it was easy to untangle this mess of spaghetti, you wouldn't have high-priced lawyers and you wouldn't have a nearly five-year bankruptcy case. You know, it's just, it's all mixed up.
I don't know if you want to answer this question or not, but let me ask you.
Probably not.
Okay, but if the Roman Catholic Church wanted to just settle this all, they could easily sell a tapestry or two or some of the artworks or do whatever they had to do to make this all go away. Could they not? They have the assets to do that?
Well, they could settle it. The problem is they want to be a going concern, you know, okay. And so it's not that easy. Maybe somebody could write a big, big check.
Maybe you can come back.